So, is it going to be hard for you to talk about food banks or food anything when you're so hungry?
Yes.
Yeah?
Not really. I mean, it's just, I'm just ready to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess what I brought for lunch?
Nothing? is that right?
No, because I'm working on myself. That's why I got up early this morning. Okay. And I brought a salad, which I will be
scarfing
still
down.
Hungry after eating, but I'll figure that out at some point.
Mm, I see. Yeah. I brought food today, so.
What'd you bring?
Yeah, I brought some stir fry that I had made. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, all about so that. Noodles and
there's
lots
a part
of vegetables.
Of me that thinks I'm just going to go home and eat more food, and like it was pointless for me to even bring salad today.
Well, you do need to eat it. You do need to eat lunch.
I mean, I'm going to eat a lunch. I'm just thinking I'm going to double my lunch.
Mm-hmm. Double your
double lunch.
You're like a hobbit.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, yes. You haven't seen my feet.
I haven't. Not up close, anyway.
If you saw my dad's, you'd be like, definitely a hobbit family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're a little tall for a hobbit.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
I
welcome.
I am above average. Yeah. No one ever talks about how tall I am.
No, it's true.
Because you know why? All growing up, all my friends were way taller. They're like 6 feet tall.
Hmm.
Literally, because I'm 5'6". They were all 5'9 to 7 feet tall. They played basketball.
You also wear heels, so that improves the distance from you to the
ground.
I know.
I think I might at most get to 5'8".
Yeah.
I really wish I was the height that I was with heels.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I guess then I wouldn't wear heels because then I'd be the height that I want to be. But,
yeah.
And I like wearing heels.
But yeah. Anytime I wear heels, I'm just like, man, it's so much further to the ground. Like if I drop something.
Tall.
I know. So then I'm just like,
You're 5'9".
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I drop something, then I'm like 5'11".
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh.
It is a lot
this is
farther.
Difficult.
It's a lot farther distance.
It's further to the desk. It's further to the chairs. It's further to my car. Why am I so tall? Stop.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. That's why we wear flats and I wear heels.
Yeah. Also, I'm lazy. I don't want to wear heels.
It's not lazy or not lazy.
I feel lazy all the time. So.
Well, that's sad.
I know.
End of the podcast.
Podcast over. So this is season 4, episode 5 of Podcast for Good. I kind of want to laugh now because I'm such a weirdo. My name is Heather Lucas, and I am such a weirdo. I'm the yes, that's my new actual working title,
okay.
Heather Lucas, such a weirdo. It's on my business cards.
Heather is such a weirdo, Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heather, two steps too far, Lucas is such a weirdo. So, that's me. Hi. I'm the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive. Today I'm joined by...
Jerrica Ferguson. I handle marketing and development for the Combined Fund Drive.
Not as much of a weirdo, so maybe you could put that on business cards.
Not as much.
Not as much of a weirdo.
I just keep my weirdo off air.
Oh, yeah. Do you? Okay. Sorry for bringing it up.
I'm just gonna... Do you? I don't know. What's happening?
Good Lord. I'm just ruining everything. Papers. I can't function.
We should do an AMSR video.
Oh, should we?
I thought it'd be funny.
Okay.
Just like tearing paper. I don't know. Get in the hype. Made it past that.
Nice. So today we are talking food bank. We are talking family center. We are talking food bank and family center together.
Yes.
We have talked to food banks before. We have talked to organizations that work with families. But today, Family Works, which is a food bank service, family center service, all kinds of things that they provide. We're going to talk with them. So Family Works, they called in. We had talked to Joey Ashenbrenner, the Development and Communication Manager, Kirby Lochner, Communications Coordinator, and the Executive Director, Jake Weber.
Yeah.
So we had an interesting conversation with them about what it is they do and kind of this mashup of services they provide.
Yeah, it's really combining and, you know, the types of resources that you see needed, right? And they talk about this in the podcast where he goes, when they go into speaking about how somebody that maybe needs food bank services, well, they may need also housing assistance,
mm-hmm.
or they may need services for diapers, or they may need services and didn't realize that they could actually utilize things like WIC.
Yeah.
And so this podcast really touches on a lot of those different things and really brings into why Family Works and organizations like these are so important by looking at the resources as a whole, for the whole person, not just one part.
Yeah, so it's a little more holistic that way. You get help for your needs instead of just the one met.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not just, oh, this is the cause of this, so we're only going to fix this one little part instead of all these multiple things that we could address. So, because we are talking a little bit about food here, and we already have talked about food multiple times, because we need to eat, I want to ask you, Jerrica Ferguson, question of the podcast, what is your favorite food? It's a tough question, right? I'm thinking, I don't know how to answer that. I can't answer just one.
I wish I could combine a pizza and a burrito together and not call it a calzone.
Pizzerito.
I don't want that. Like, I don't want the, like, I'm not talking like I want a pepperoni pizza because I'm a pineapple. I'm a Hawaiian pizza.
Up five.
Thank you.
Up top.
Not afraid to say it.
Yeah.
But I also love, like, I love a good, thick burrito full of like rice and beans and vegetables and potentially some type of meat product, probably more in the steak realm.
So that's definitely burrito-ish.
I think, you know what I realized? Burrito, I don't think it's a favorite food. I think that I like using my hands to eat.
Okay. That's interesting because I learned something about myself like that too, where it's like I love dippable foods. Oh. Foods that you can use, foods that you can use as like, I'm not using a spoon because this chip is the spoon, essentially. Like, I'm using the whole thing. So, like, nachos. Love them. Can't get enough of them, right?
I do love nachos.
Right? They're delicious. Plus, right? Let's get some nachos. Forget healthy eating. Let's get some nachos. But you can put anything on nachos that you really want, that you really like. If you change it up to be like, hey, I'm going to put a banana on a nacho. That's weird. I know.
What?
Yeah, see how weird that
was?
Well,
wait. What if you did, like, dessert nachos where it was, like, chips? They're like pretty, like they're just like salt chips. They're not like something crazy. You put bananas, you put some, like chocolate sauce, you put some strawberries.
Whipped cream.
Yeah.
You can do that.
It'd be like a salty sweet thing.
But it's not technically nachos. Like you gotta be like, they're dessert nachos, like dessert pizza.
Yeah, no one wants that.
Nobody wants that. No. If I wanna eat a cookie crust.
Call it pie.
Yeah. Call it a dessert. Shut up.
Call
it's
it
not
a tart.
Pizza. It's exactly. This isn't pizza.
Now we're just getting down a rabbit.
We are. We are. Okay. But
point proven. Dippable foods for you.
Yeah, I like them. I do think nachos, probably, I would have to say, if I had to go with favorite food, yes. On the podcast, in seasons prior, Philip and I talked about our love for nachos and potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So potatoes, you
chips
can do
or
that.
Just potatoes?
Well, potatoes are so multifaceted. They're flexible. They're versatile. So you can do anything with potatoes.
I do love a good potato.
Oh, yeah.
I have potatoes in my house.
Yeah.
Let's I've been making potatoes. A lot of mashed potatoes lately.
See? Delicious, right?
Yeah.
Stop
looking at me.
I'm curious about this pizzerito, not calzone.
Not calzone.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Me too.
On that note, we're going to kick it off to the interview with Family Works. Joey Ashenbrenner, Kirby Lochner, and Jake Weber. Here's that interview. Okay, so we're here with Family Works. We've got three people on the phone with us. Joey Ashenbrenner, the Development and Communication Manager. Kirby Lochner, the Communications Coordinator. And Jake Weber, Executive Director, again, for Family Works. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Can you give us a little history about Family Works and what your organization does for the community?
Family Works is about 23 years old, and it is a combination of providing basic emergency quality food and connecting people to essential resources while also providing a supportive community so that people can be as resilient as they can be. So the combination of food from our food banks and resources through our family community connectors, and then all of the other supportive family and community groups that we do provide a community for people so that people belong. And we're located in Wallingford, and we also have a food bank in Greenwood.
So you serve those specific communities, Wallingford and Greenford, or do you go further out?
You know, it's really the whole entire North End that people can come and access our food banks as well as our resource center. And we do have people coming from long distances for some of our parenting classes and for our unique language parent-child play groups such as Spanish and Japanese, because they don't really exist elsewhere. So we do have people coming from afar, but primarily serving the greater north end of Seattle.
Wonderful. So in the course of this podcast history that we've done, we've talked to many food banks and different family serviced organizations, but not many that actually combine their services together. Why is it important to have these resources and food banks available to your clients?
This is Joey speaking, and that's a great question. And I think that if you have ever been, through a difficult season of life, you know that it's not just any one thing, right? And so if you're struggling 1 month to pay the bills, you're not just struggling to make sure that you have food that you can put on the table. You're also struggling to make sure that you have gas in the car and struggling to make sure that you can pay your rent. And as families, the families that we serve, we know that it's not just food, it's things like diapers, it's other basic needs resources. It's having access to activities that they can do with their kids. And so being able to really come around families in a holistic way, I think, is ultimately going to be the most effective in terms of supporting them and providing them that network of support that in that difficult time can operate as that safety net and then hopefully buoy them in the future towards greater resiliency.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
So as an organization that is a food bank, can you speak about common misconceptions that your organization faces or has heard from either clients or other organizations? What common misconceptions are out there?
Well, I know there's one common one. Let's imagine someone driving up in a car of any kind, but a fancy car may make some people think that they don't need the food bank. Or really anybody who comes to the food bank might be taking advantage of something. And we believe that, first of all, we looked at everyone who walks in our doors as folks who have strengths and that are part of our community. So we try to not make judgments about anyone at all. And every single person has a story. And you would find if you actually talked to a person who drove up in that fancy car, that most likely it might be a remaining asset from when they had jobs and they had a some kind of medical emergency and lost everything, but kept their car because they had to drive their kids around or they have to get places. And it's still a struggle. And or, a person that might be nicely dressed, they're coming to the food bank. Everyone has a story. And what we know is that it's not easy to come to a food bank and that they are there for a reason. And most likely they're there because they want to take care of their family. They want to take care of themselves. And they just simply do not have enough money at this moment in time to be able to afford both food and the other bills that they have right then. So there are misconceptions, but I think that people just come to food banks and spend some time in there and spend some time talking to people, they'll realize that we're all pretty close to needing a food bank and that really if we don't make judgments at all about people, it creates an environment that respects people with dignity and includes everyone. And so we just make a practice of making sure everyone feels like they're part of our organization and that we're so happy they're here and we're going to provide the best selection of food that we possibly can, as well as other supportive services.
I think that the other stereotype is that anyone going through a food bank is homeless, unhoused. And while there is a certain percentage of the participants who come through our food bank who are homeless that we serve, the vast majority are not. And so we're serving, I should probably start off by saying that food insecurity obviously doesn't discriminate. And so if you look at who it is that's coming through our doors, it's a lot of students, it's a lot of seniors, a lot of families with kids in local middle schools and elementary schools. I think Jake kind of touched on this, that everybody can be close to that spot, right? All of us can be close to needing be able to access a food bank. And so it's not everybody is unhoused.
Right. No, that's really well said. You touched on a part that we were literally just going to ask about homelessness. So I appreciate you already bringing that up. So obviously that these families that you're being served and the needs your clients encounter means you have to put in time, and you kind of have to do the research to find out what the biggest needs are to assist them. Could you speak about some of the largest needs that your clients and their families have and how you're meeting those?
And just to preface, we're really excited that we received funding from the City of Seattle Human Services Department recently to hire a quote-unquote community connector. They'll be stationed at the food banks in Wallingford and Greenwood, and really will be meeting with people to ask them directly. We have been doing that for sure. However, we haven't had so many staff that we can go and do the outreach in the food bank as deep as we'd like. So this is fantastic. But what we do know, because people come to our resource center asking for resources, is, well, not surprisingly, finding affordable housing is certainly top on the list. We do our best to refer to organizations that that. However, let's see, individuals are often needing some basic supplies, and we do have, for folks who are unhoused, we do have some warm gloves and hats and hygiene supplies, and really socks are always, if anyone ever wonders what they could offer to people who are homeless or unhoused, yeah, socks are really great, because they just provide that the dignity and the comfort that really will get them through the day in a different way than having a pair of wet feet. Other needs. So we have, help me out here.
Well, I think that one thing, in addition to a number of the services that we offer, in addition to a number of the things that we can distribute, so like Jake touched on, so whether it's food directly through our food bank, food that we do, grocery delivery that we do for homebound seniors, weekend nutrition programs that we do for local students who are on free and reduced lunch, or even for our unhoused participants, we do no-cook emergency bags. So those are all things that are, you know, specific to the specific needs that our participants have. We also offer things like free diapers and wipes for families, kids' clothing, toys and books. But I think that one thing that doesn't often get talked about when you're talking about poverty specifically is the idea of isolation and how isolating poverty can be. And it's easy to imagine that when you're going through a difficult season that you don't necessarily have the extra resources to say, you know, go to the zoo or go someplace fun with your kids or even just participate in a community activity. But when you're struggling with poverty, you're that much more isolated from any sort of nurturing community. And so the nice thing is that families can come here, individuals can come here, the families specifically can come, participate in our play groups, participate in parent-child education courses, and develop that sense of networked community, friends, and people that are going through similar stages in life. Yeah, and just build out that, I'm being a little bit redundant here, but build out that community that can lift them up and just brighten their spirits through those difficult times.
So something your organization has on your website is services for the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children's, a.k.a. WIC. Can you talk about the WIC services and how those services on-site impact the families you serve?
Sure, yes. We have a partnership with Public Health Department, King County Public Health, and so they do outreach. They come out two times a month on Thursdays, and they meet with qualifying families who meet some lower income threshold. They're either pregnant or they have children up to the age of five, and it's a supplemental nutrition program. So it's actually, while the mom and families are pregnant, they really provide kind of an overall health oversight to make sure that they're just eating good food and being healthy themselves. And then once the child is born, they follow the child as well. So, and encourage breastfeeding or just making sure that the mom has adequate nutrition to, you know, support that, as well as other foods that are important for their family. So it's they receive vouchers, which is now kind of cool because it's on a a little, looks just like a debit card, kind of like the EBT thing, but they used to have to spend their voucher check all at once at the grocery store, and now they have a card, so you just draw down, so maybe you just need some milk that week for the month, and so you just get your milk, and then you have the remainder on your card. We have found that having WIC on-site, it's just a great complement. If a family comes to the food bank, we notice that they do have children or they're pregnant. We ask them, are you signed up for WIC? They can come right over here, get signed up, and have just another connection to people who care about their family and their health, as well as they are using formula or whatever, they can get some formula and other, you know, healthy products at the store. We had a story, it's kind of a little bit of a tragic story really, but it did show the importance of having WIC on site was many years ago. This is Jake, I've been here a long time. But there was a mom who had developmental disabilities, and she had two children in a stroller, and the one in the front was about 2 years old and presented pretty well. But there was another child that was laying down in a double stroller behind that child, and kind of asked, and I think that mom knew that something was not quite right, but what we realized was that the child was so undernourished that it was very, very close to death. I'm sorry to say, but it was. So it was a Thursday. WIC took one look at the child and realized that I think what had happened is the child was not able to breastfeed, and so they weren't, or feed at all, because it had a swallowing issue. So anyway, that was an extreme example of how important it is to have, you know, nutritional services here. They went to WIC, and they served the family right away. But on a general basis, people come in, they might not know that they are eligible for WIC services. So it's very handy to have things that are convenient for people to access, where they can learn that there are additional programs available to them to keep them healthier and in their homes and just have greater well-being.
Thank you for sharing that story. That's just, wow. It's great that, you know, there is people on site to be able to assist that child as well. That's so important. So let's say someone hears this podcast and wants to begin giving to Family Works. Can you talk a little bit about what donations do for your organization?
Absolutely. Well, it depends on what you're asking specific. I would say, you know, generally speaking, what donations do is they really help provide the infrastructure to make sure that these programs happen. They make sure that families have this safe place that they can come, where they can get nourished, they can get connected to a caring community, they can access basic resources, and ultimately help their family get to that place of stronger, being stronger, being in a place where they're more resilient. And so we are incredibly grateful, because we would not be able to do this work if it were not for our donors. Specifically, if you're asking about things like how much does $10 accomplish, $10 can actually, that's enough to provide one family with milk every week of the month. And for food banks, it's kind of rare that you can have something like milk, but we're very fortunate that we can provide that consistently week in and week out. We're very fortunate as an organization to have a partnership with Molly Moon's Homemade Ice Cream and their Anna Banana Milk Fund, in which they, through donations of their staff members and then through corporate donations, we receive milk through those donations that we get to provide to our participants. That's pretty cool. So that's what $10 can get you. $25 would provide a family with 1 week's worth of groceries. A $50 gift would provide a family with one resource referral session. And so we are pretty proud of the fact that we use every dollar, and we really maximize the effect of every donation to make sure that families are getting what they need.
Great. So before we go, do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
Well, we have one event that's kind of a little bit off in the future, but on October 25th is our signature Sunday supper event. It's so far off in the future that we don't have any information online just yet. But if people are interested, they can definitely check back to our website, and we'll have more information in the future about that.
And a little bit sooner on May 6th is Give Big, which I'm sure you know about, is probably larger than citywide at this point. It's almost nationwide, and we'll be fundraising on that day as well.
Great. That sounds incredible. Thank you so much, Jake, Kirby, and Joey, for giving us a call and telling us about Family Works and the incredible work you're doing for our community.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Joey, Kirby, and Jake with Family Works talking to us about their organization and all the things that they do in the Wallingford and Greenwood community, as well as just the kind of King County, South Sound there region.
I really enjoyed what they had to discuss with us and talk about, and how, again, what we talked at the beginning of the podcast, how important it is to take that wholesome approach to an individual. I felt that, you know, them touching on and telling that impactful story about that child and how important it is to have these resources, because people are struggling.
Yeah.
And as they kind of talked about, it may not be the person that you know, just because you take an assumption that someone has a really nice car or a really nice suit.
Yeah.
I really appreciate they talked about that, because, you know, my own personal experience I've shared on the podcast seasons ago, I mean, that's where my parents were at.
Yeah.
Where anybody looking from the outside thought that everything was going well.
Yeah.
But you don't realize, you know, either bills aren't being paid, but they still have to have the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do appreciate it, especially, I think, with the financial crisis that happened in 08. People are now still struggling to come out of that. And even though it may seem that they are coming out of it, they still should accept and receive these resources, because it helps minimize that gap.
Yes.
That need gap, that wealth gap, that gap that we all feel at times of the month, if you're struggling, or even if maybe you had an unexpected payment, and then again another unexpected payment.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that savings account of yours, you know,
lowers. It's depleted real quickly.
Yeah, I mean, and it can happen just overnight. And so I just really do appreciate that they really did talk about connecting these people with support and resources, and it really, you know, brings a whole to the community, because when someone in your community is doing better, right, someone in your community is getting the help that they need, it is going to better yourself and your family and your community, and it just is a whole circle effect.
It does, yeah. And then when you're able to access resources for multiple needs instead of just the one at a place like that, because, I mean, Food Bank does serve families. It serves individuals, it serves families, but if you can, say, get access to a program like WIC at a place like a food bank, that totally makes sense. It is a food-based program for need.
Yep.
So it's really great that they do these things up there at Family Works.
Exactly. We do have some upcoming events, though. We actually just finished out last February. Do you want to talk about?
Yeah, so DOC volunteers and Bates Technical Community College, they came together and did an event with some partners called Unguarded. It was an art auction. They had a silent auction element, a live auction element, and the artwork was donated from incarcerated individuals across the state. Mm-hmm. And we're still tallying the numbers and how it went, but it was definitely a success. It was a great time out at the LeMay Car Museum.
It was their second annual, correct?
Yeah. So they did one in 2018 in February, and they did it this year again. So hopefully it will be something that kind of sticks to that February month, and they're able to get artwork out to the community.
Right. We also had a Valentine's Day gram. We were close to, I think probably about
like $1,000?
Yeah, $800 to $1,000. We're still finishing up on those numbers. But it was a really cool thing. We really appreciate anybody that was working working and decided to send a little e-gram. They're really cute to see them come in.
Yeah.
And the really nice messages people had to share with their coworkers and family members. It was a cool promotion that we're definitely going to continue on every year.
Yeah, I really liked the animal card the best.
Thank you. It was very cute. They were nice, very cute, weren't they?
They were cute. Yeah, and then we have had some recognition events already this year. We have had the March 3rd event, and that was the Snow King event at the Center for Urban Horticulture. We honored a longtime volunteer and coworker, Carrie Fuller. She has been an incredible volunteer and staff member for University of Washington Combined Fund Drive. She retired in January, so we definitely miss her already. And we got to see her and give her yet another round of kudos in front of, you know, her team, her coworkers, and volunteers for the Snow King area.
Also, upcoming was our is our Thurston County statewide recognition event. It's on March 13th at SPSCC Lacey. We're very, very excited to help celebrate our amazing volunteers, and a huge shout out to the Thurston County Steering Committee for all of their help putting this event together. We really couldn't do it without them.
Very true, very true. And yeah, so we're coming towards the end of our recognition event season. We'll be able to get some events going for Spokane and Whatcom March and April, and recognize those volunteers in those regions as well. So this has been Episode 5, Food Bank Family Center. Thank you so much for joining us today and listening in.